DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Archdiocese of Omaha, presents the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. The United States Catholic Catechism for Adults is an adaptation of the Catholic Catechism. It serves as a resource for those who wish to become acquainted with Catholicism. It is an invitation for all the faithful to continue growing in the understanding of Jesus Christ and His saving love for all people. The United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Chapter 28, The Fourth Commandment, Strengthen Your Family. Honor your father and your mother. Catechism of the Catholic Church, numbers 2196 to 2257. The Married Among the Blessed. On October 21, 2001, Rome witnessed an unprecedented event when three siblings attended the beatification of their parents, the first husband and wife raised together to the rank of blessed. Maria Corsini was born in Florence on June 24, 1884. Luigi Beltram Quattrocci was born in Catania on January 12, 1880. They met in Rome as teenagers and were married in the Basilica of St. Mary Major, November 25, 1905. Maria was the daughter of an army captain. A lover of music, she became a professor of education and wrote widely on the subject. A member of Women's Catholic Action, she spoke frequently to women's lay groups. She worked in relief efforts in Ethiopia during World War II. Luigi was a talented lawyer whose career brought him into the Italian government as an assistant attorney general. He was close to many leaders of the government and worked with them in the reconstruction of Italy at the end of World War II. Maria and Luigi had four children, two boys and two girls. The boys became priests. Filippo, now Father Tarsicio, is a diocesan priest in Rome. Cesar, now Father Polino, is a Trappist. Enrichetta is a consecrated laywoman. Stefania, who became Sister Maria Cecilia, a cloistered Benedictine nun, died in 1963. The Quattrocci's were a middle-class family whose home was a welcoming place and even became a shelter for refugees during World War II. The couple went through a crisis in 1913 when Maria became pregnant. Doctors told her she would not survive the pregnancy and that the child also would die. They said that an abortion could save her life. Maria and Luigi knew if they followed the doctor's advice, they would be guilty of a grave sin. They simply put their trust in God's protection. Maria ultimately delivered Enrichetta safely. The whole experience brought the family to a new level of living their faith and trust in God. In his homily at the beatification of the couple, Pope John Paul II cited the question of Jesus: "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Pope said that Luigi and Maria were an example of a positive reply to Christ's question. The husband and wife lived in the first half of the 20th century, a time when faith was severely challenged. In this setting, they always said yes to Christ. Throughout those difficult years, Luigi and Maria kept the lamp of faith burning and passed it on to their four children. Acknowledging the presence of three of them at the beatification, the Pope quoted a line their mother had written about them: "We brought them up in the faith so that they might know and love God." The beatification was held on the 20th anniversary of the publication of On the Role of the Christian Family in the Modern World, Familiaris Consortio, a document from Pope John Paul II. Familiaris Consortio asks couples to follow the path of holiness by virtue of the sacramental grace, which is not exhausted in the actual celebration of the sacrament, but rather accompanies the married couple throughout their lives. Blessed Luigi and Blessed Maria walk that journey of holiness in the light of the gospel and in a deeply human way. Their son, Father Tarcisio, remembered that the aspect that characterized our family was the atmosphere of normality our parents created in the constant seeking of spiritual values. No family is without its steady dose of disappointments and trials. Many are tempted to discouragement. There are those who face illness and those who endure the death of a child or a spouse. Luigi and Maria had their share of troubles and handled them with courage and faith. Addressing the married couples at the Beatification, the Holy Father asked them to learn from the example of Maria and Luigi. As you face difficulties and trials in being faithful to your vocation, in cultivating conjugal and family harmony, in carrying out the mission of parents and participating in the life of society. Luigi died in 1951, Maria in 1965. Luigi and Maria lived their ordinary life in an extraordinary way. They centered their life on daily Eucharist. They also had a strong devotion to the Virgin Mary, to whom they prayed every evening. They met regularly with their spiritual director. Their fidelity to the gospel and their heroic virtues were verified in their lives as spouses and parents. Their prayers and example can guide us in our reflection on the fourth commandment.
Welcome, Your Excellency.
Thank you, Chris.
Chapter 28, the fourth commandment, strengthen your family. We're used to seeing that as honor your mother and father, but it really is about the family at its core, isn't it?
It is. Like all of these commandments now, 4 through 10, they're going to encourage us to live virtuous lives that show respect for us and for our neighbor. The first of the commandments talk about love of God and honoring and worshiping God. Now we talk about love for neighbor. So the commandments have a particular way of stating what's the core of the commandment, but then it unfolds into a lot of other important responsibilities and duties and possibilities, really, for discipleship. So we traditionally state this commandment as honor your father and your mother, but it really is about family life in all of its aspects.
It's interesting. It would come right after the first three, which is about honoring our relationship with God. And now we've come to it, unlike the ones that will follow, which say, you know, do not do this or avoid this, do not do this. This one is honor. This is almost in the same vein. It's a neat bridge between the first three and the six remaining.
As we move into the exhortation to love our neighbor, the first neighbor that we bump into usually is at home. And so this commandment that really helps us look at the domestic church and at the particular responsibilities parents have towards children, the children have towards parents, siblings to each other, you know, that all of us have in the various aspects of family life. It's a good place to start mm-hmm. in terms of understanding how the commandments lead us and reveal to us really how to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Boy, the extended family, if there's been something that has been blown to pieces in the last generation or two, it's that even the closeness of an elder daughter or elder son from a family, and we may not know who our cousins are. We may never have met an aunt or an uncle. It's pretty sad.
Well, these days people end up just living all over the place. You know, we don't necessarily grow up and live and die in the same village or our town or neighborhood. Our ancestors might have spent their whole life. So the extended family is often scattered, and it takes a little bit more effort to maintain those family ties. Practically speaking, we have them, for them to be meaningful, a source of support and concern for one another. So you're right, there are all kinds of strains on family life these days, and the mobile society that leads people away from home for job or schooling or other things, it's part of the challenge.
Even more vital then would be the life of a family integrated into the parish community that the church provides to be able to kind of have that communal support.
The domestic church isn't meant at all to be a substitute for Holy Mother Church, for the church as a whole, but rather is seen as sort of the basic building block or the basic cell of the church. So you're right, families come together as part of the parish family. Mm-hmm. And there we do recognize ourselves as members of what we might call an extended family in the body of Christ. One of the beauties of parish life, if we will participate in it and invest ourselves in it, is the support that is given to individual families mm-hmm. by the things that we do together, most especially worshiping God together in Mass and the other sacraments. But the social life of the parish and the opportunity for families to work together on particular projects that either build up the life of the church or service to the larger community, that those can be great experiences that enrich the lives of individual families. And as people come home from the parish and from Sunday Mass, from being involved in projects or the social life of the parish, they can find themselves enriched and strengthened mm-hmm. in their life at home. To offer transportation or food or babysitting or home repairs or whatever, you know, might really be helpful at the moment. Those things that are done in support of an individual family in the parish are very important and very much appreciated. But it's the solidarity of knowing that even when something is happening in the family that might help make them feel isolated, that's not God's desire that they be isolated, and it's not really the nature of the church. And so the really other families, other households within the larger community of the parish can really be very instrumental on ordinary days, but particularly at extraordinary moments, instrumental in supporting and enhancing the domestic church.
One of the important aspects of that is nurturing and encouraging that love and helping for children to honor their mother and father. And that's part of what the parish does. I'm not trying to make it all about the church's involvement, but then again, how can it not be? Because it's so much of who we are.
The parish partners with families, with parents particularly, in religious education programs or in a Catholic school particularly, to help develop that respectful relationship. Parents have the obligation and the duty to nurture and educate their children. Children are able to learn both at home first and always, but also sometimes in school or in other programs in the parish to honor their parents and to understand God's plan for family life and God's plan really for the structure of the family and the authority of parents. It's one of the ways that we begin to understand God's pattern of justice through legitimate authority in the world and society. We see that in the way that God has constituted families and given parents authority over their children in the name of God himself. So it's a legitimate authority, it's a benevolent authority, but it's a great responsibility. And the church has never seen family life as a mini democracy, but particular mm-hmm. responsibilities are given to parents. This fourth commandment helps us highlight those responsibilities of parents to children. We're reviewing the adult catechism, so most people who would be reading this, that's kind of the perspective they would take. Part of the responsibility of parents is to help children understand how they honor their parents, mm-hmm. Not in a slavish way at all, but with genuine respect. And the teaching and the discipline and the good order of the home helps teach that lesson to children so that they grow up not in a spirit of chaos or anarchy, but with a sense that there is legitimate authority, which comes from God through human instruments, parents first of all, and that authority deserves respect.
It's almost like a great cycle when you think of it sometimes, that the children will learn from the parents and how the parents treat the grandparents, their parents, on how to love in that exchange. And so that when those children, ideally when they grow to that age and it's time for them to care for the elders in their family, they've had it modeled. And yet today's, in America anyway, that modeling is changing, and it's changing dramatically.
It's changing for a couple of reasons. People are living at great distances. Mm-hmm. So for example, as children are growing up, if the grandparents aren't nearby and they only see them occasionally, there isn't that kind of modeling with their mm-hmm. own parents towards the grandparents. But also some of the trends in a more secular society lead people to a false sense of autonomy mm-hmm. and also, frankly, to a kind of selfishness where we look for what we can get out of relationships rather than being drawn to an understanding of mutuality in relationships. So, for example, even between parents and children, there can be an exchange of gifts, each coming from their particular place in the family, of course. Parents and children aren't equals, and they're not their responsibilities, their place in the family isn't the same. But as parents give love guidance, direction to their children as they accompany them on their way. They're also receiving love from the children. And I think most parents would admit that they learn a lot from their kids as they're growing up. That exchange of gifts is a very important part of family life. As young children grow into adulthood, their relationship with the parents changes necessarily. We would hope that if it's begun in a respectful way, that respect continues to grow, and that the parents can now count on their children in a different way to contribute to the life of the family. You know, doing chores, taking more responsibility just for day-to-day family life, taking more responsibility for themselves, the children, so that parents don't have to be so solicitous for all the little details of everyday life, or that they can count on the older children to take care of themselves so the parents can devote more time to younger children or to infants. As children grow into adulthood, then there's the possibility for a beautiful adult relationship between parents and adult children, which in many families is enjoyed for many years until, as is often the case, the parents in old age perhaps begin to become infirm and actually depend more for physical needs, for financially, for emotional care, or even guardianship, really depend on their children. The hope is, and it's God's plan, that this respectful mutual relationship that has existed now begins to take on a new characteristic as adult children may have the opportunity to care for the important needs of their parents. We talk about repaying the parents for what they've done for the children. It's really not that so much, but it's the fact that this commandment reminds us God has put us in relationship to each other in the family, and at whatever stage of life we are, we owe respect and honor children to parents, parents to children, and that manifests itself in whatever the particular circumstances of that stage of life might be.
As you pointed out, this is the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, and many of us have gone through family experiences as children that broke, whether a parent divorced another or that there was conflicts that really shook the foundations of those parental relationships, so that as that child grows into adulthood, the very idea of honoring a parent that hurt the family by their actions, they look at this commandment and go, oh, how can I? Because there was so much pain when I was a child.
There's room and opportunity for healing in every family. There's no ideal family in this world. You know, we do suffer hurts. We know that the grace of God provides the opportunity for healing, often for reconciliation if relationships have been strained or broken. It's not always possible, we know, but the healing and peace that we desire is possible. I don't want to psychologize too much. I think we, sure. You know, we need to be careful not to put unrealistic expectations on our parents or on our children, for that matter. People don't always turn out the way that we think they should.
Right.
And that goes as parents are looking at their children and as children look at their parents. And often, particularly as children get older, they can look back on ways where parents might not have been as present or might not have been selfless. They might have been dealing with their own issues, or might have been caught up in something selfish, whatever it might have been. The point always is not to nurture anger or in any way try to be vengeful. We know that's not what the Lord is calling us to. So we pray and look for help and encouragement from others to repair relationships where we can, and particularly as we mature ourselves, if we've suffered from the lack of maturity of others, to perhaps be the adult, you know, and with the help of grace, try to be magnanimous, but always, as the commandment encourages, to be respectful.
So comforting to remember, as you have instructed us over the last many episodes, that he hasn't left us alone, that he does send us that great gift of the Holy Spirit, especially pouring through the graces of the sacraments, and that's talking those things through, working those things through, either in the sacrament of reconciliation or bringing them to the Eucharist, that there's a real desire to heal that, the divine physician.
That's why that image of the domestic church is so beautiful and helpful, because it reminds us that the Lord desires to be a member of our family, of the household of faith, and that it's certainly done in an imperfect way here, but we do have the opportunity to mirror the the communion of love of the Trinity. And we can't do it perfectly, but it's what we're called to look for the ways to do that. Because family life is under such strain, siege really, in many ways in this culture, there's an awful lot of brokenness that people do experience. Back to the importance of the parish community, so that we can experience life in Christ together, even beyond our household, and particularly where there are struggles at home or where the family is broken in some way, that there can be a way to make up for that exactly, but to be drawn into a larger circle of life and love within the church, where we do celebrate the sacraments and have the opportunity to think a little bit larger about God's plan and the possibilities that God has for us within the context of the church.
Is it too simplistic to say that there's the great hope and desire that if that basic unit of the family is healthy and authentic, that it helps all of society remain healthy? And that's a desire, a real hope, and a goal for the church.
It's a goal for the church because we believe that it's God's plan. God has designed the chaste love of husband and wife and the children that are the result of their marriage, the nurturing that they give to their children, and the experience of the children growing up in a family, that's God's plan for us when we're little and vulnerable. That's the way we're in God's plan, is meant to come into the world and into, not just into the world on the planet, but into society, mm-hmm. into the church. So it's part of the reason, big part of the reason why the church defends, now called traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, nobody thought that there was any other kind. But the church does defend and promote marriage and family life because it is so important for the life of the church, but really for the common good of the whole community. It's important for our country. If we're going to have a society of justice, love, and peace, if we're going to have a society that's respectful and stable, that we have strong families. Again, the families aren't perfect. If we collectively sort of give up on the idea of family life, say it's too hard or it's not possible because some people aren't doing it or can't do it, that no sense anybody trying, that really is the ruination of the all of not just homes and neighborhoods, but of civil society.
For me anyway, it brings it right back to parish life, how important it is, especially for those homes that are struggling, whether if it's found itself to be a single parent home for whatever reason, or those that are struggling, and for parishioners who find themselves able to witness by simple things, whether it's becoming catechists in a religious education program, or to be able to become some part in the parish life so that they can assist those families that are in need.
The parishes don't work magically or mechanically. It's a community of believers rooted in family life. So it's important, if a parish is going to be what the church envisions that it will be, that families invest themselves in the life of the parish by being active members in the sacramental life of the parish, certainly, but also in social life, educational life, and in all other ways. So that it's not simply a mutual aid society where we kind of hang together in case somebody needs help. Mm-hmm. We want people to find help in parishes. And as I said, we witness that happens very beautifully. But for that to be possible at the moment when it's needed, it requires many families in the parish investing themselves in the life of the parish and seeing that's the natural extension of the life of the home. Those two don't compete with each other. The home and the parish, they complement and strengthen each other. Just as there's a strain on family life these days, there's a strain on parish life. Many of the same stresses, overscheduling, people working too hard. Again, I say that respectfully of people who have to work. But as we talked about earlier when we looked at the third commandment, there's an important aspect of family life is to keep the Lord's Day holy and to have the time, the leisure time, to be together, spend time together, to worship together, to pray together. And families are naturally drawn into the parish mm-hmm. at those moments if they make the time for them. Sadly, these days, that time seems to get squeezed, and so family life suffers as a result, and so does parish life.
You will have those that may say, maybe out of ignorance or for whatever reason, well, the church has no business in our home telling us what to do. Well, it's because it loves so much the family that it has to speak.
Because the family is meant to be a domestic church, and as I said, the church, the institutional church, if we want to say that, is not in opposition at all to family life, nor would family life be in opposition to life in the church. They are very, very complementary. There are those these days who push a variety of agendas that would seek to redefine family life or really diminish its importance. And so the church does stand up against that, not only against it, but really standing for the central importance of family life, because it's God's design for the welfare of the children. Is an important reason why we stand up for the integrity of families. Children have rights. They have the right to be nurtured and to be respected. They have the right, really, in God's plan to loving parents and to grow up in a stable household. We said it's not always possible. There are for any number of reasons. So we want to support the families that are our neighbors and that are members of our parishes. If marriage has been broken, if a family has been abandoned by one of the spouses and parents, or if a family is struggling in some other way, we don't want to insist that a family be picture perfect before we will treat them as our neighbors or welcome them into the life of the parish. So that support and welcome is one thing that we're blessed to be able to participate in. But a sort of redefinition of what constitutes marriage and family life and sort of redesigning it ourselves in our own image or for our own purposes really goes against God's design and God's loving plan for how life is, human life is to be brought into the world and into the human community, and how people are to grow and learn and exist in right relationship to one another.
Any final thoughts on this particular commandment?
We have a great gift in our Catholic faith to offer to the current culture that has in so many ways diminished the importance of family life, either by turning away from its importance or by really trying to push an agenda that would twist really the meaning of what a family is or is supposed to be. We do that not in any kind of a self-righteous way, but I think we should do it truly. First, value the gift of the domestic church and pray together, ask God to give us the grace that we need to live as the best family that we can be, and then be willing to sort of stand up for the importance of that life and encourage it among our neighbors. As I said earlier, it's not a good thing for us to sort of give up and say, well, I guess families will just be whatever. God has a plan, and the plan is good for the individuals, good for the family, good for society. We pray to receive and understand that plan better ourselves and then to be witnesses to the importance of healthy, holy family life.
Wonderful. Thank you, Your Excellency.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas. To learn more about the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, go to usccb.org, the website for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or download this episode, along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com in cooperation with the Archdiocese of Omaha. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults with His Excellency, Archbishop George Lucas.